double blessing tonight from the choir. I heard the rehearsal in the apartment. They ought to sing up a little louder so that I can hear in detail, but what I heard was excellent. And sure, I'm blessed all our hearts and souls this evening. Would you turn, please, to 2 Chronicles and chapter 9. Second book of Chronicles and chapter 9. Reading from verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon, she came to test or prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bore spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she talked with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing hidden from Solomon which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, the food of his tables, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants who stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighted in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them for ever, therefore made he thee king over them to do justice and righteousness. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices great abundance, and precious stones, neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Huram, and the servants of Solomon who bought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord, and to the king's palace, and the harps and psalteries for singers, and there were none such seen before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire. Whatever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king, so she turned and went her way to her own country, she and her servants. We pray that God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Last Thursday night we were thinking, weren't we, of the tabernacle and this morning, the temple, and this morning we were moving on to the conclusion of that when we were considering Solomon's tremendous prayer of thanksgiving, dedication, supplication and praise. And this evening we see the results. You know, when you do great exploits or seek to do great exploits for the Lord, there is always results. Whenever the gospel is preached, ministered, or taught, there is always results. I had a little discussion with one elder brother after an evening meeting. He said, no results tonight, brother. Disappointed. I think he thought I had a magic wand, you know. I said, but there were, you know, brother. No, not that I saw. Well, I said, maybe there'll be some in glory. On the other hand, others decided not to follow Jesus Christ tonight. Whenever the gospel is proclaimed, a decision is made for or against following in the steps of Jesus Christ. And so we see the reaction then to the founding of this great temple and also the establishment of Solomon under the hand of God to be that king of great wisdom, of great riches and great fame. In actual fact, my dear friend, I want to tell you tonight of one who is even greater than Solomon, who has all the wisdom, who is the King of kings and the Lord of all. And he has the riches of all eternity in his grasp. Now, the Queen of Sheba, she had heard of the fame of Solomon. In actual fact, if you move down to verse 5, we have it elaborated there, where she says, when she had seen the king, that it was in the end a true report that she had heard in her own land, and according to his acts, etc., etc. Verse 6, but howbeit, I believe not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. Now, dear friend, if you are waiting to see God to believe him, you are living dangerously. You are, in actual fact, very much like our friend in the New Testament, that disciple, Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas, you remember, he wasn't in that room after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ when he first of all appeared to the assembled disciples. And when the disciples said to Thomas, hey Thomas, listen, do you know what? And poor old Thomas says, what's that? Because he was really depressed and down, you know. He says, we've seen the Lord. He says, you're joking. That's just about it, isn't it? He says, now I tell you what, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger in the nail prints and thrust my hand up into his side. You know, when I think of Thomas, I think of the acute embarrassment that must have been his, hey? When the Lord so graciously gave him that opportunity, hey Thomas, here I am. It's my fingers. You put your finger in there, Thomas. Thomas, here's my side. Look, you put your hand in there. Now will you believe I'm here? He doesn't tell us, does it? Did he put his finger in? Or he put his hand in? Seeing Christ was enough. Tonight, my dear friend, I pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will see Christ. Oh, no, 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 not in the real flesh and in this room. But in that mind of your soul, that you will see Jesus Christ tonight for yourself, dying on Calvary's tree and shedding his precious blood, his whole life, we were thinking this morning, poured out to the last dark drop for you. Do not wait until that coming day when you will see Jesus Christ, but you will only see him then as an awesome, terrible judge. Solemnly he will command you to leave his presence and go with all those of countless ages gone before that left out this life without Christ as the Saviour and Lord of their life. It's a dangerous business to fool around with God and say, I'll leave it, I'll leave it, I'll leave it, I'll leave it. We must move on a little bit. We see then that she came to see the fame of Solomon. She came also to test and to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem. Never forget a dear lady who came to me in the boring area in the city mission days in Birmingham. And she says, Mr. Preacher, when you've answered all my questions, I'll then believe in God. I said, Madam, you'll never believe in God. But, my dear lady, I said, if you come to Christ and give your life to him, every answer in the book will be yours. We do not come to God on our terms. We come to God by his gracious mediator, Jesus Christ. He is the way and the only way. By what's more, he is also the truth as set out in his holy word. And he is that life that you need and I need, which is the eternal life, which comes through Jesus Christ. Come with your questions, but first of all say, Lord, I do not understand, but Lord, help my unbelief. It takes the trust of a little child. And speaking of little children, of which I'm pleased to see there are children here tonight, it's a good thing to have a creche. And on the other hand, it is a great thing to bring children into the house of God. It doesn't trouble me. I remember how very many people put up with me when I was a child. I wasn't exactly that quiet, and I could never sit still. Remember complaining to one sister and saying how it troubled me that I disrupted her morning meeting. She said, nothing like you did when you were her age. Oh dear. Never prohibit the children from coming and hearing the message. Never prohibit the family from sitting together under the sound of God's word. Family that prays together and worships together stays together, you know. But also to those young ones, I want you to say you may not understand fully. You may not know the ins and the outs of the Bible like perhaps Mummy and Daddy do. But it doesn't matter how young you are. I was only 9 when I first discovered I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. But you know, I had this peculiar idea that I could hang on to my father's jacket when the Lord called. I think I thought I was going to get 5 or 10 minutes notice, you know. And I would go up on his tail of his coat. That, I tell you in all seriousness, I can remember evening meetings where I sat there holding on to my father's coat in case the Lord came. But I did nothing about it. I can remember waking up in the night and my father was notorious for snoring. And on 2 or 3 nights I remember waking up and he wasn't snoring. And I tell you, I broke out in a cold sweat. I started to think how I would get his money out of his bank account and how I'd be able to live, knowing full well they'd gone to glory without me. Let us not trifle around with eternal matters. At a young age, we need to give our hearts and our lives to Christ. When those teenage comes, when it gets so difficult and all the problems come out from school pressure and evolution and all these crazy nonsense things that they teach us, we need to have it firmly set in our heart that Christ is the only one and the only way. She came with her hard question. Solomon was a gracious man, wasn't he? And I love it how it is set out here that Solomon answered or told her. It sounds so matter-of-fact, doesn't it? He made mincemeat of these awful, great, tongue-twisting, tying, not making questions that were a problem to the Queen of Sheba. I mean, she was no ignorant, was she? She was the Queen of Sheba. And yet she had many, many problems. And Solomon was able to answer her, and he reserved nothing. He told her everything. My friend, this evening, if you have problems in your heart concerning your life or your married life, your family life or your business life, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is a great solver of problems. His precious word is designed that as we read it, it will speak to us. There's one version of the word of God and it's called the Living Bible. And that is exactly what the Bible is. It lives. These words that we have before us are God-breathed. They are energized by the Holy Spirit. And they will have a claim upon your life as you sit down with God's book and open it up and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. He's done it to hundreds of others and thousands and millions of others. He even does it to me, and I'm sure then, therefore, he will also do it for you. What other was the way in which this Queen of Sheba came to Solomon? I see in my Bible here she comes with a very great company. Camels and all the rest of it. You know, dear friend, I have to tell you this, that you have to come on your own. I am so pleased that my God is the God of the individual. Back home in England, as I believe it's becoming this way even in this country too, to the government we are a number. But when it comes to my Lord Jesus Christ, he calls me by my name. Precious Bible tells me he even knows the number of my hair upon my head. Now, if you think that's not a hard job, I can tell you also that that pertains to others here who have a thicker thatch than what I do. How gracious and touching and precious is our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows and he loves the individual. And not only does that, but he is waiting and longing for an opportunity to prove it. Our God isn't the one of the mass. Our God is the one of the individual.
I do believe, dear friend, if there was only one sinner in the whole of time, such is the love of God, he'd have come and died for that one person. Such is the great love of God. It's on an individual basis that we come, not with our hard questions, but in just meek, childlike, trusting faith, believing that Christ had died for us, that he shed his blood for us, that he will forgive us our sins, that he will forgive us as being a sinner, and he will make us his very own son or daughter. The other thing was, of course, that she came, as we said, with her camels and with spices and with gold in abundance and precious stones and so on and so forth. I wonder if she's trying to compete with Solomon. Whatever it was he had in her mind, it didn't work, did it? Perhaps she was going to buy her way in favor with Solomon. Well, let me tell you and relate this again to the Christian story, shall I? We cannot come to God and say, well, you know, I've got a fair bank record, and I've got all these materialistic possessions, and I've got a car, and I've got a boat, etc., 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 etc. God doesn't even see those, my friend. He only sees your bare, precious soul as needing cleansing by his precious blood. That's all he sees. He doesn't see the outside facade. He doesn't see the possessions, although they hurt him. He sees your naked soul before a holy God, and he craves that it should be rested in his everlasting arms, trusted to him, not only for this time, but also for all of eternity. Then we drop down to verse 3, and we see that the Queen of Sheba, when she saw the wisdom of Solomon and the house he had built, and the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, the attendance of the ministers, the apparel of the cupbearers, and also the way he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit left in her. In fact, in verse 6, she even goes further, and behold, the one half of thy greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I had heard. In other words, she'd had the wind taken out of her sails. She was absolutely, we would say in England, gobsmacked. She was nonplussed. She was drained of all her own eager and all her own paraphernalia and outset and entourage and everything else. She stood there absolutely limp. Weak at the knees and greatly humble. My friend, that is the attitude in which we need to come to Christ tonight. We need to realize the magnificence of Almighty God and also the holiness of God. God is a thrice holy God, and he cannot tolerate sin, nor will he. And there's no way we can seek the favor of God. But I also do see this, my dear brother and sister in Christ, that she noticed the food on the king's table. She noticed the way the servants worked for their master. She noticed the clothes that they wore. She noticed the way the cupbearer went about his business and the clothes that he wore. And she noticed the way that they went up to the house of the Lord. In other words, here we have yet another unsaved soul looking at the Christian. The way they live, the way they eat, the way they dress, and the way they go to church. Boy, if somebody to write a book about our lives, I wonder if it will be an encouragement or an embarrassment. We also go down a little bit further, and we see there that also she is happy that thy men are also happy in their service. You'll also know that they stood there continually before Solomon. Yes, my friend, as you're going to come to Jesus Christ tonight, realize this, that Christianity isn't a Sunday affair or a Tuesday night affair. Or a Thursday night affair. Or a Friday young night people affair. It is a continual thing. And there was no servant of Solomon that was on part-time pay. There was no servant of Solomon that got made redundant because there was not enough work for him to do. Talk about job security. I think the greatest security in any job is in the Lord's service, isn't it? And yet how many get drawn and want to put their life on the rail? Say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants who stand continually before thee and hear of thy wisdom. Not only in service then, but also in daily reading, in daily study, in meditation and thought upon what we read needs to have an effect on us, doesn't it? It needs to produce that fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives that characterize us as one who has given our life to Christ. And then comes that time when verse 8, she just overflows in praise over Solomon. And to me, this is the evidence of what had gone on in her life, the trust and the belief that she then had in Solomon. Blessed be the Lord thy God who delighteth in thee, to set thee on his throne to be the king for the Lord thy God. Have we come to a point in our life tonight, my friend, when we're going to bless Almighty God for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And say, Father, I thank you that you sent him to earth for me. I thank you that you allowed him and permitted him to become that one and only one who could hang there on Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood that I might be cleansed of my sin. That I may be able to rejoice like the Queen of Sheba rejoiced. That we may be able to bless God for being the King of Kings and the Lord of all. Isn't it about time? How many times have we heard the word God preached on this island? Maybe not even just in this church, but other churches too. And we still go on putting it off and putting it off. What is the excuse for putting it off? Is it perhaps peer pressure? Your friends are going to ridicule you at school? Is it because you know you would have to adjust your life and the standards you do expect for life? You're not prepared to sacrifice. You're not prepared to lead a Christian life. Hey, listen, my friend. How much did Christ put aside in order to come here for you? That he might hear these words as he heard them from the Queen of Sheba concerning Solomon. That you would rejoice in the fact that there is nothing too great that you can't surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then true joy will be yours, I can assure you of that. There is no sacrifice too small to start with that God won't honour. No, and I remember when I started to see the daylight on that score. I had a problem, I'd been struggling with this problem with this person for 18 months. And I tried everything inside the book and outside of the book. In the end, I handed that person over to the Lord, and it was done that same day. Boy, I gave the Lord 11 out of 10. We wrestle, don't we, in our own strength. When are we going to relax? When are we going to give in and say, Lord, come in, take over? That's very interesting in verse 9, isn't it? That she then gave the king 100 talents of gold and of spices of great abundance and precious stones, and neither was there any such spice as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. We're beginning to get things in the right order now, aren't we? You see, she first of all came with all this lot to placate and to give Solomon some idea as to who she was. But after he'd answered all the questions, when she'd seen his life and his testimony and the way in which he governed and ruled, etc., etc., she became humble, didn't she? She said, here is one who is worthy, in which I can trust with my goods of this earth and this life. For I'm sure he can make a better use of them than what I can. Have we ever come to that decision in our life, my friend? Lord, not only me, but you know those things that you have given me, Lord, a home, etc., etc. Those talents and abilities which we have been given. And I tell you something else, talents and abilities that we don't know we have got. You'll not believe it, but at 19 I was too shy to go courting with a girl. Something's happened in between, I guess, but we just don't know what abilities we have, do we? Until we say, Lord, take me. Lord, use me. Lord, develop my ability to share your word with other people. Own up to the fact to the Lord that you're embarrassed to talk about him. Where there's that inadequacy, the Lord will fulfill, won't he? That ability. If we have a real, true desire to serve and to give to the Lord. And also it was infectious, wasn't it? Verse 10, and the servants of Huram, servants of Solomon, brought gold from Ophir and algum trees and precious stones. And verse 11, oh how I love it. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries for singers. And look, there was none such seen before in the land of Judah. This would tell me again afresh, my friend, that God has given you an ability that nobody else has got, you know. He wants to make out of you an instrument that has never ever been seen in Christian work. I remember a little video, Christian video film I had in my video library back home in the mission. And it was a story about a little girl called Kelly. And Kelly was deaf and dumb. And Kelly lived two blocks down the road from a mission station in Hawaii. And they were so frustrated in that mission station that there they were, the servants of God, given to preach, etc., etc., but they couldn't penetrate Kelly's little heart. And it grieved them. Come the summer months, there came a student out on his vacation to help the missionaries. He was an art student. And he also had a heart for this little deaf and dumb lassie, little Kelly. He tried to befriend her, and it was difficult at first, and so he drew her picture. And it brought a little smile to her face. And she got to be attached to that little art student who started to paint and to draw and to sketch out the whole gospel story. And you saw how it was that that little deaf and dumb lassie came to the Lord. Beautiful, isn't it? Each of us, even others apart from myself and many other full-time servants, there are some here tonight who have got abilities that I will never have, that I can never rise to. There are things that you can accomplish that I would love to accomplish, but it is not my calling. It is not my gift. And as we know, the body of Christ is of several and many manifold gifts. You think now of the things that you can do, that you could put to use to glorify the Lord, to be a blessing to others. Even in that leaflet that we had in our notebook, in our booklet this morning, that dear lady who just stopped to listen. How many times do we say to somebody, hello, how are you, and walk on and don't even wait for an answer? And that person probably is hurting badly to tell somebody about their big sore toe. But we're so quick to tell them about our big sore toe, aren't we? Time for one another is a thing that we can all do, isn't it? It's a thing that we all need to do. And so finally in verse 12, we have it, don't we? The king Solomon, he then gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire. Have you ever wondered what's going to happen if you're going to give up everything? You might think you're going to lose everything. Well, let me tell you, you're not. You're going to gain a whole lot more. Because you know the scripture clearly tells us that God is no man's debtor. There is nothing that we can't give to God that he will not repay in some way or other, both in this scene down here upon earth, and also where our treasure ought to be, which is in heaven. For down here, moth is going to corrupt, and thieves are going to break in and steal it, and it's all going to go away, isn't it? And what's more, we can't take it with it, and we didn't come with it anyway, did we? So the repayment of service down here will be in kind, but also there will be that great reward in glory as well, won't there? And I am convinced that there's going to be so many shocks and so many surprises when we do get to glory. And it won't be all the preachers that get all the big gifts and the crowns, etc., etc. I'm persuaded there are many thousands and millions that work quietly, of which none of us know anything about. But God will reward equally and more than all the preachers that stood on platforms. He gave her all her desire. Psalm 37 clearly tells us also, doesn't he, that he will, if we live near to him and walk near to him and do his will, he will give us not so much our needs, not so much our requirements, but he will also give us those things that we even have a desire for. But I tell you most of all, he will bless you as you seek to give yourself to him. And so finally, she turned and she went away to her own land, she and her servants, and when they got home, they shut the palace door and they didn't say a thing to nobody. Is that what we read? Wasn't, was it? Boy, I guess there was a huge, great rally that would have made Billy Graham look, well, a bit small. As she would have gone home and she would have told of the fame of that great, great king. Yet isn't it a strange thing, my brother, my sister, young man, young woman, that we have the gospel in our very heart, and yet to a great extent it's the best military kept secret in the whole wide world, isn't it? Is it that we are jealous and envious and we don't want anybody else to go to heaven? Or would our heart be craving with the blessings to be outpoured unto others? As the Lord pours into our lives, let us see that we can pour out into other people's lives and seek to bless them, seek to encourage them. You see how Solomon did it with the Queen of Sheba? It was not overbearing, it was done in love, wasn't it? In tender care, he just lived out his life before her. He just answered her questions. He obviously must have taken her and shown a great hospitality. And he gave her the rich gifts that God had made him a good steward of. Oh, friends, tonight, I cease my pleading. I know the Holy Spirit speaks and has spoken to hearts tonight. It's time to make up our minds as to what we do. That we come on our own on bended knee and say, Lord, here I am. Just take me as I am. To us who are the Lord's, to reevaluate what we are in the Lord. What we are doing with the Lord. What we are doing for the Lord. That our lives may be, in fact, a wonderful testament. A drawing light in a dark, dark world. That our Saviour might have the glory and the joy as he looks down from glory and says, well done, my servant. Shall we close in prayer? Father God, we do bless thee for the lives that were lived in the Old Testament time that we can take lessons from. We can see similarities too. We can see their weaknesses and their strengths. And thy word has been preserved to us that we might be able to learn thereby. Lord, prevent us from going forward, we pray, in any foolish way. But to come to grips, our Father, with the need of knowing thyself in a deeper and a more living way, day by day. Father, we pray for especially the younger ones here tonight. Yet again they have heard the gospel. We pray that thy Spirit in that little way would strive with their lovely hearts, that we might hear them commit their lives to thee and trust thee for all eternity. That us who are older in the faith, our Father, might be able to review our past and say, this isn't good enough. I need to surrender all. Oh, our Father, forbid us from being part-time Christians when it suits us. But to live and be a living sacrifice as bidden in the Scriptures. As we live to sacrifice for thee, our Father, we will know a blessing from thyself. Know, our Father, that our lives indeed will be a sweet savour to thyself, as we long for that day when we shall see him face to face, when we shall receive our reward, when we shall hear those lovely words, well done, my good and faithful servant. We give thee thanks, our Father, and again commit ourselves to thee into thine everlasting arms for these coming days, in thy will. Lord, you would cause those opportunities to come to us. Cause us, our Father, to reach out and seize opportunities and to live for thee. Be a blessing to ourselves, our loved ones, and those that we work with. Lord, this our prayer of our heart we pray for his namesake and for his glory. Amen.